God's hand on this young man's life, and appreciate again that you could preach for us.
You don't always sing?
Yeah. I just feel like singing tonight. Just for my mother-in-law. I didn't want to sing before. Now I do. I talked to y'all about bringing Russo, our dog, back from training. And it was awesome to have the dog back. It's been a good weekend. I've had a great weekend. Me and my wife went on a date Friday night, and she took this horrible picture of me and put it on Facebook.
I saw it.
I'm sorry. But I've had a great weekend. We went and saw a movie, and in that movie it showed the 60s. And for some strange reason, and I kind of figured it out, I think, that every time I see the 60s, I feel like I miss those days. Although I was born in 65, so I wasn't real old during the 60s. But the 60s and the 70s, the things that they showed in that movie brought back a lot of memories. The record player. And then they went on to the 8-track tape. That brought back a lot of memories in my life. And I think I like those memories because it put me back to a time that I didn't have a care in the world. I was a kid. I was young. I didn't have to worry about nothing. I didn't have to worry about where I was going to eat, what I was going to eat, where I was going to sleep, or anything else. Mom and Dad took care of that. And I think that my sister told me the other day that she went back in time to when she was the happiest in her life, and it was when she was 26 years old. She goes, "That's how I picture myself right now." She's 67, but she says, "I picture myself as 26 because that was the happiest time in my life." And I think that we're all that way sometimes, that we don't picture ourselves as old as we are.
Amen.
Sometimes I picture myself a lot older, and my wife says that I'm 70-something years old sometimes. Just telling the time when she wants me to do something. But anyway, that movie brought back a little something else, too. It brought back when JFK was talking about going to the moon. And he said, "We do it because it's hard." And it brought me back to some things in my life. Brought me back to some stories I've heard in my life. You know, a higher education designed for us to use our brains. And can I tell you something? Going to the moon, there was people using their brains to figure all that out. It also took some skill. Not just any jet pilot could do that. And the movie was talking about Neil Armstrong and all the things that he did. And what he went through in his life. The failures. The people he lost. He lost a daughter. He lost friends who died in jet crashes. And he lost three astronaut friends that burn up in Apollo 1. So there's a lot of things that he went through. And you know what? There's a lot of things that each and every one of us go through. There's things could bring back triggers that will just melt us sometimes. There's things that make us happy. But everything that we go through is to make us stronger. Even the bad things, the Bible says that God will make the bad things good. He will turn a bad thing and make it good in our life, but we would just allow Him to do that. I think of Joseph and the things that he went through. But God had a plan the whole time. God had a plan. And Joseph did right. And he did what God wanted him to do. Even in the bad times. It took a lot of, not only to take skill, not only to take brains, but it took a lot of muscle to do the things that they did to go to the moon. They were strong men that did that. They went through rigorous training. I remember a story of an NFL football player. He was a standout in college. And he went to the NFL. And he said one of his heroes was there at that football team that he went to. And he said they got through with their training, which is pretty rigorous. And you think about it. Every high school football player that's really good in high school, what's the percentage of them going to college and doing good in college? And the college kids that go and are good in college, what's the percentage of them going to the NFL and being good in the NFL? The higher you go up in your status, the smaller the percentage are that go. Not every good high school football player goes to the NFL. Look at Johnny Manziel. You know, he had it made if he just stayed in college. Go another year. A&M would have won the pennant probably. The national championship. It would have been awesome. And he might have got a little bit more smarter. I doubt it, but it could have been happening. Okay? Now then, this guy was a standout in college. He gets to the training camp, and his hero is there also. And they go through their training, and the veteran goes over and says, "Come on, you're going with me." He goes, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "Now we're going to go work out." And he went to a workout, and he said the first time he tried doing the workout that he didn't make it. You see, that guy worked out harder than anybody else. That's why he was the best. And we don't take that to heart. We're creatures of habit. We want to do the very least to get by sometimes. I know that here lately that I'm just now starting to get back in shape where I could be able to walk after I get off work, be able to do something when I get off work. And it's awesome to be back in kind of shape. I'm not in real good shape right now, but I'm in a lot better shape than I was when I first started working. Those people know that if they want to exceed in the area they're in, they got to do a little bit more than what the other person's doing. How great it would be if we do that in our spiritual life. How great would that be if we say, you know what, I want to be a little bit better than the best Christian out there. I want to do a little bit better. I want to do a little bit more for Jesus. Paul said, I ain't going to go and preach to another church. I'm going to go start my own church. How great would that be if we decided that we don't want to go and go help somebody else do what they're doing, but we want to go do something for Christ on our own? Proverbs 1:22 says, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge." You know, we kind of adopt that into our life that we want to be simple. We really don't want any hard things in our life. We just want to do what we can to get by, and everything's going to be okay. I heard Doug Fisher preach a message down there at Brother Hack's church that says that God's an austere man. Yeah. That he's very strict. That he means what he says in this book. And we kind of think of him as, he's just a loving God and he'll understand why I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. He'll understand that I don't need to go to church all the time, and he'll understand that I don't need to witness to anybody, and he'll understand all that. But the Bible says it's pretty plain that he understands it all right. He calls it a Laodicean church. And that's the church age we're in. Nobody wants to go out and witness for Christ. Nobody wants to do anything for Jesus. It's we want Jesus to do something for us. Now, I could have took a lot of stories in the Bible, and I almost went with Peter walking on the water. But I thought about this is because I'm getting a little older and I think that I'm not as strong as I used to be. That, trust me, I'm not as strong as I used to be. But I thought about this story. And in Joshua chapter 14, if you'll turn there, please. And while you're turning there, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day, Lord. I thank you so much for your love towards us. I thank you for salvation. I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray that you use me tonight. Lord, that you speak through me. Lord, that the Holy Spirit have free reign and free unction. And Satan, I rebuke you. I command your imps and demons to flee in outer darkness in Jesus' name. Amen. In Joshua 14, it's the story of Caleb. And we know Caleb was one of the spies that went into the land to spy out the land. He came back and him and Joshua says, hey, we need to go over there. It's just like God told us. And the other 10 people, the other 10 spies says, oh, it's too big for us. We can't do this. And so the Israelites had to wander in the desert for 40 years till everybody died but Caleb and Joshua and their families. That's a kind of hard thing. That don't sound like a loving God that you're going to say, you know what, it's okay. I know you don't believe. I know you really don't trust me, but come on in anyway. It doesn't sound like that. Sounds like he's an austere man. Sounds like he meant what he said. He said what he meant. Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee and Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said these 45 years, even since the Lord spake these words unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet as I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave him to Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and to this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Now the Anakim was the giants. And notice it was Caleb who fought, wholly followed the Lord, that wanted to go up on the mountain. He wanted the high ground. All the other Israelites didn't want that. They wanted the valley. Kind of like when Abraham and Lot heard when were fighting each other. Now, notice that Abraham and Lot were not fighting, but the people that served them were fighting. And instead of them saying, just knock it off, quit fighting, then they departed company. And Lot chose to look at the cities. He looked to go towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He looked for the easy path. And that's what most of us do. We look for the easy path. We don't want the hard path. We don't want to go up, climb the mountain. We want the valley. We want the land that's already been manicured. We don't want to buy a piece of property and cut the woods, trees down and clear the land and then farm it. We want the farm that's already there. What if we never went to the moon? I don't think we'd have cell phones right now. Well, a lot of people would argue that we'd be better off. Our computer technology wouldn't be probably what it is right now. No satellites. No Doppler radar, probably. All kinds of things that we take for granted right now that we just think the normal, that we've had it for all these years. We really hadn't had it for all those years. You see, we did something hard mainly because the Russians was in front of us and we had to beat the Russians. But look at the world now. Look at modern medicine right now compared to what it used to be. They were showing in that movie that they had a great big machine and that little girl that had a tumor was there. And I remember when my dad was dying of cancer in the 80s that they just burned him. They didn't know what they're doing. They still don't know what they're doing. But they just burned him up with radiation. He was black from here down. Well, they was giving him radiation. Just burned him. But they were just trying to kill the cancer. And they killed him too. Now, you go in for cancer and they could cure almost a lot of cancer. They could cure. Mm-hmm. And it's through trial and error. You know, those three astronauts that burn up, they learned a lot. They changed a lot of things up. What are we going through that we don't want to go through that God's trying to use to help us learn something?
I recently just lost two good friends from a little accident. And scary.
Yeah. God is no respecter of person and neither is death. Little babies are dying and 90-year-old people are dying and everything in between. You never know when it's your day. I was reading somewhere. Oh, it was this morning in the lesson. That you have an appointment. You have an appointment of death. We don't know when we're going to live or die. All we know is that when we die, we're going to either go to heaven or hell. I want to go to heaven. Amen. I'm going to heaven. Amen. It's sealed. We learned that this morning also. Amen. That I can't lose what God gave me.
Amen.
But there's also in the Bible that people that did what God wanted them to do, and they were very blessed. And there was people that didn't do what God wanted them to do, and they wasn't blessed. There's another story in the Bible that probably better takes what I'm trying to speak about and put it in perspective. But I think I chose this one because Caleb says, I'm 85 years old. And for me, it's like, I used to be able to do this, but I'm old now. We make excuses. We create giants that are not there. There was a giant that came across the whole camp of Israel and defied Israel. And there wasn't anybody in Israel that go out and fight Goliath. But a little boy did. And see, him and Caleb had something in common. Caleb says, I feel just like I was when I was 40. But he says, if so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. He wasn't dependent on his strength. He was dependent on God's strength. If God says I could do this, I could do it. No matter what anybody else says, no matter what any other 85-year-old says, I could go do it. I like Brother Mungo. You know why? He's old, and he loves the Lord, and he cares about the lost. He could be sitting at home not doing anything. He's had, what, three bouts with cancer?
Yep.
He's still out there running around doing stuff, telling people about Jesus. You know why? Because that's what God told him to do a long time ago. We want the easy way. And God says, look, I gave you everything you need. You have my word. You have my spirit. What else do you need? At the last ministry I was at, they showed up videos a lot of times on Sunday night. And they showed this one video of a guy who was born with no arms and no legs. You know what he is? He's an evangelist. Do you know he goes and tells people about Jesus Christ? Amen. He goes, now then, I want to ask you a question. He's sitting there over and he's like this. He goes, why can't you do something for Jesus? Yeah. You feel about this small. There was another evangelist that they showed that he had cerebral palsy. And you know what? God got a hold of him, saved him. He dedicated his life to tell people about Jesus. He has went all over this country and probably, I don't know about the world, but he's went all over this country preaching about Jesus Christ. God gave him a beautiful wife. God gave him kids. And he's up there saying, if God can use me, why aren't you doing anything for Jesus? Now, I want to ask you a question. Why ain't we doing something for Jesus? We have everything we need. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? There's another story in the Bible where he says, you know what? You ought to be eating meat. But you're carnal. And I got to feed you milk. How would you like it if we come in here and we had a dinner and Chris came with a bottle and handed it to Dave and says, now here, honey, and put a little bib around him and let him drink milk out of a bottle. Most of the time she has to do that, but never mind. But that's how we are in a Christian life. I'm picking on Dave. But it's the way we all are. Now see, if we was really out doing what God wanted us to do, if we was really taking what God tells us seriously, then we'd be out changing the world. He changed the world with 11 people. So why can't he change our little world? Caleb said, I'm 85 years old. I don't care what any of these young kids say. They don't know what they're talking about anyway. I'm going to go take the mountain. I don't know if the Russians wasn't trying to go to the moon that we would win. I think we probably would have won anyway. Maybe not to the moon, but we'd have done something. When they first went to this thing and they showed them, this guy's talking, they went first with the NASA, and the guy's talking to them, and they had two chart boards right here. And he said, this is the Earth, and this is what the Russians have done. And they went to above the Earth before we did. He said, now, we're better than the Russians. And we're going to do something better than the Russians. This is what we're going to do. And he drew a line across this chalkboard. And he told his kid, he said, bring out the chalkboard over here. And he went over there and he said, the moon. He said, now that's the scale. He said, we're going to do something better than the Russians. We're going to do something better. You know what? That's Caleb. Caleb trusted God. He said, you know what? God's not lying to us. He believed God. Kind of like what Abraham did. He's a father of faith. He believed God. You know what? God's looking down and said, man, I wished I had somebody like Moses. I wish I had somebody to stand in the gap for these people. But I find none. I find none that wants to stand up and say, you know what, Lord, this country has sinned against you. We have sinned against you. I beg you to forgive us. I beg you to save this country. Moses did that to the Israelites. But God says, I find nobody that's going to do that. I find nobody that's wholly going to follow me. Because see, there was a lot of good people that came out of Egypt. Moses was a good person. He was a good leader. But he didn't go to the promised land. There's a lot of good people with good intention. But I don't see anybody taking this country by storm and leading the Christian cause. There've been a lot of great independent Baptist preachers that built big ministries, but I don't see anybody that's really standing out anymore. You know, at one time, Lester Roloff and Jack Hiles were common names around the country. Chuck Harding is one of the eloquent speakers I've ever known, or ever heard. But there's a lot of people that don't know who Chuck Harding is. There's a lot of people in this country that have never heard of Capital Connection. I don't see a great man of God that's going to stand up and lead this country back to God. Why not? Because, see, that's what we need. We need some men of God to stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to wholly follow God. There is a cause. There's a cause. But we're not doing anything. Because we're simple. And we like to be simple. We don't want to use our brains. We don't want to use our skills. We don't want to do anything that nobody else has done. We just want to be simple, and we want to have everything that's nice, and we don't want to go out and, it's okay. God understands. My Bible says that He wants to spew us out. I wish you were cold. I wish you didn't know anything about me. Because you sure ain't doing anything with what you know about me. You know, there's a lot of giants in our life. There's a lot of phobias that we have. There's a lot of... One of the giants is fear. We don't want anybody not to like us. We don't want to stand out in the crowd. We don't want to stand up. We don't want to be that person that everybody points to and says, oh, here comes that guy that loves Jesus. We don't want anybody to not like us. We have a fear of getting up in front of somebody and talking to them. We have fears of, we're claustrophobic, we're all kinds of phobias. Them are giants in our life. Them are giants that we need to kill. I've always liked this verse, because when I went to the first ministry I was at, it was like, I'm more than a conqueror. And that's what God calls us. We're more than conquerors. How am I more than a conqueror? Well, God saved me, and I conquered alcohol, I conquered drugs, I conquered all those things. God conquered them. God conquered them in my life. But now I could go help somebody else conquer them too, because I could tell them what Jesus done for me. And Jesus, if He could do it for me, He could do it for anybody. If He done it for me, He could do it for you. Why aren't we doing that? I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he said one time that there was this Middle Eastern man come in. He had a nice suit on. He looked very proper. he sat down in the chair, I mean, at the pew right at the close to the pulpit, and we went to the deal and had an invitation of people come forward, and he stood up and he said, "I would like to say a few words." And he said, I told him to give him the microphone. And he says, "I've listened to your words that your pastor have said, and I'm telling you that I don't believe a word he said. But if I believed what he said, there wouldn't be a person on this earth that I wouldn't tell." And he said he made every one of us feel about this tall. You see, if we really believe God, if we really believed Him, we'd be telling people about Him. But see, we don't want to stand out. We don't want people to notice us. We do, but not in that way. We don't want people to hate us. We don't want people to talk about us. We want people to like us. And if we tell them about Jesus, they won't like us. When we picked up the dog, I had a couple of these in my pocket. And I'm just waiting for the time for this guy to be quiet so I can hand him the trash. His father's visiting from Long Island. And on and on. All they want to do is talk about dogs. So finally we're paying him. And there's the time that he shuts his mouth for a little bit. So I hand him and his father a tract. A simple plan of God's salvation is what I handed him. And I said, "I was a drunk and a drug addict, and a cousin bought me a Bible. And 13 months after he bought me that Bible, I got saved, and God took the alcohol and the drugs away from me. I said, the Bible says that except you be born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. I said, we're all sinners." "Oh, yeah, we're all sinners." And God just threw it like that, and his dad, a Korean vet, put it in the pocket and went over there and shook my hand. Now, we walked out of there and I was going, "Phew." But you know what? Before I got saved, that's probably what I would have done also. When my cousin bought me the Bible, I said to myself, "Oh boy, that's exactly what I need," and I threw it in my truck. But you know what? It was exactly what I needed. I would rather go through life having people not like me because I told them about Jesus than standing at the great white throne of judgment one day and seeing them run rock out of hell and them hollering, "You never told me! You never told me! I'm burning in hell because of you!" That's going to be a little bit different. We like to remember things when we was young. When we didn't have a care in the world. When our biggest care was, what am I going to do this weekend for fun? Or, I'm bored, I want to go do something. Till, I've got to go out and work. Because if I don't work, I don't eat. I got to go out and do something. I got to do this. I got to do that. There's so many things that I need to do. There's a whole list of things I've got to do before I can even think about going to sleep. We don't like to think of the good things there. We like to think of the times in our lives where we didn't have to do anything but have fun. There's going to be a time when we wish we'd have took the mountain. There's going to be times when we wish we'd have put in just a little extra more thought into something. That we put more planning into something. That we thought that, you know what, I'm not too old. I'm just out of shape. I can learn. I just don't want to put the effort into it. You see, the Bible says that if you ask me for wisdom, I'll give it to you. You see, we just don't even want to ask. Why don't just somebody tell me what to do and I'll do it? And God's going, I said this to God the other day. Why don't you just tell me what to do and I'll do it? And he looked down and said, I've been telling you what to do for a long time. You still won't do it. Whoa. There's only a few people that take the mountain. I wanted to go in the military when I was young, and I liked the generals. I liked the admirals, you know. I read books when I was in high school of MacArthur and Patton and all those, and Eisenhower and Nimitz, and I had a history teacher in high school, and he was talking about MacArthur one time, and I said, MacArthur? And they kind of, I had just read a book on MacArthur, and I said, do you know about MacArthur? He goes, I know everything about MacArthur. And I said, oh, well. I said, what was his dad's name? I don't know what his dad's name is. I said, his dad's name was Arthur. Well, you think about a weird name, Arthur MacArthur. He goes, what does that have to do with anything? And I said, well, Arthur won the Congressional Medal of Honor in the Civil War. And MacArthur, Douglas, always wanted to win the Congressional Medal of Honor just like his dad. His dad, they shot the guy that was carrying the flag. And his dad ran and grabbed the flag before it hit the ground and started charging the hill. And all the troops saw that and just got all excited and charged the hill and won the battle. You know what? God's already paid our salvation price. And if we die for His cause, then we're going to get a few blessings. You know, when Stephen was getting stoned, and he said, Father, lay not the sin to their charge. You know, Jesus, he looked up in heaven, saw Jesus standing and clapping. You know what's sad? That Jesus, not only is he not clapping right now, he's not standing either. Because there's really nobody out there leading the charge that's going to take the mountain, because everybody's just doing what they always done. Now, don't get me wrong, there's people out there doing stuff, and there's great men of God out there. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, where's the Pattons in Christianity? Where's the leaders? Where's the MacArthurs? Where are the Lesser Olafs? I want to tell you something. They're out there. They're out there. They just don't want the mountain. Or they're getting picked off. You see, Satan, back 60 years ago, him and his little demons were spread pretty thin. And with people like Joel Osteen and Rick Warren out there, the false prophets, the people that are talking about being blessed, blessed, blessed. Send your money to me and God will bless you and you'll have everything you need. Just claim it and name it. Those people out there like that, you know, the TV preachers that you talked about this morning. You see, with all them leading people astray, there's not too many people doing the right thing. And Satan can come at the ones that are doing something and take all the demons and forces and go after them. I didn't know this till after I was, well, this year when I got my smartphone. I didn't know who took over for Jack Hobbs. And I started watching from 2011. His son-in-law took over and grew that ministry. And then he got caught and some stuff, and he went to prison for 12 years. And everybody, I listened to the preacher just jump up and just jump at him and tell everybody what a sorry no good he was. And I thought to myself, you know what? Satan picked him off. You see, that ministry was growing still. They built a bigger building when Jack Hiles had it. It was growing. Johnny Pope come back and said, man, you're doing good. And Satan goes, yeah, but I'll get him. I'll get him. I want to ask you, are you a Caleb? Because God's given each and every one of us the tools to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. You see, we like this simplicity thing. We like this, I don't want to cause any waves. Lester Roloff, if he wasn't in a fight, he'd go find one. Because he loved fighting. David would say, is there not a cause? Why aren't we seeing more Calebs? Why aren't we seeing more people that want to do something that nobody else is doing? That want to use their brains, that want to use their skills, that want to do something for Jesus that nobody else is doing. You know what? I thank God for Chuck Harding. I thank God for David Gibbs. I thank God for all the men of God that are out there doing what God wants them to do. And leaving the results up to God. But there's a little part of me that wants to say, where are the Lester Roloffs and where are the Jack Hiles? I wish they were still alive. You know what? I heard. I think it was Jack Hiles say one time, he says, where are the great men of God where I was a kid? Where are they now? I wish they were still here. You know what? We have all the people that we need right now. Because see, even Elijah said, I'm the only one that's doing anything for you. I and I alone. And God said, I have 7,000 people here that hadn't bent their knee to Baal. Elisha told his servant, asked God to open his servant's eyes. Because all the chariots of the enemy was around them. And when God opened his eyes, he saw that chariots of fire was surrounding them. You see, God's given us all the tools. He's given us everything we need for the victory. The battle belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
Even when he comes back, we ain't going to do nothing but ride horses behind him. And if you don't like riding horses now, you better get used to it.
Amen.
Ain't that right, baby? We need to be a Caleb. We need to kill our giants. Because each and every one of us has giants. We have fear. We have all kinds of things that keep us from doing what God wants us to do. But what we need to do is exactly what Caleb, Abraham, David, and all of them did in the Bible. All we need to do is trust God and do what God tells us to do. We need to believe God. when after I got saved, our pastor was gone, and our associate pastor got up in our church, and he preached on, do you believe in God? I've told y'all this many a time, but it's really stuck with me. Do you believe in God? He said most of us would say yes because we're at church. And then he said, do you believe God? And that's where most Christians stop right then and there. They believe in God. But there's not enough Calebs in this world to trust God and believe God and do what He wants us to do. I pray that I could stop saying how old I am and start saying what God can still do in me. My mother-in-law ran walked a race the other day. And Dave was talking to him this morning about that he was afraid she didn't make it or anything. And I asked my wife there at the table, I said, well, how'd you do? And she told me how she did, and I didn't ask my mother-in-law. Because I really didn't think she ended the race either. But she told me not only did she end the race, but all the way she was going, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can I tell you something? Each and every one of us can do all things through Christ that strengthens us.
Amen.
It's just that we don't want to do anything for Christ. I believe that if my mother-in-law could get out and do a race like that, that I could get out and do some stuff too. Because, see, there's nothing wrong with me. I believe if my mother-in-law could say I could do all things through Christ that strengthens me, then I could get out and say, you know what, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to tell people about Jesus because that's what God wants me to do.
Amen.
He wants me to be a voice. He wants y'all to be a voice.
Amen.
He wants us to go out and conquer.
Amen.
And be more than conquerors.
Amen.
You know what we want to do? We want to sit on our tail and watch movies. And have somebody else do it.
Yeah.
I think we all need to be Calebs.
All right, let's grab a songbook. We sing, I Want That Mountain. Somebody got a page number. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the message again. And boy, we are living in a Laodicean church age. And it's good to be conscious of what lukewarm is and what it ain't. And let's be ain't. Praise the Lord. I want that mountain. Before we sing that, let me cover five things of the 15 I covered this morning. The Bible says that all have sinned. Doesn't matter which side of the tracks we come from, don't matter where we're from, what we've done in our life, all have sinned. The Bible says we're condemned already because of that sin. There's a death sentence ahead of us because of sin. And the Bible says, again, that there's nothing you can do to get out of that death sentence. And we're condemned, and we're going to hell, we're going to death for eternity because of sin. But then the Bible says that God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our place. Then the Bible says that there's a formal acceptance that you must do before you can receive that. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made to salvation. And with the heart man believeth unto salvation. And so again, those are just five things that we need to go. When we say go tell someone about Christ, those are five things that everybody will see this week. Needs to know those five things. If they already know them and they're saved, they'll hug your neck if you'll tell them those five things. Okay. And so again, understand that we need to be witnesses of God's saving grace. Did we find that? I want that. 328. 328 in our songbook. Let's stand. And let's purpose again that we'll be Kalins, praise the Lord. 328. I saw the giant of prayerlessness upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard at my unbended